stretch out, that your skin can bring you so much pain. Now I hear you say, you got the best of both ways. Won't you come and take a walk in my shoes and tell me if you take my place? Under the cover of my skin, I've heard all your names. If it's all the same, I'll keep on walking. Under the cover.
Welcome to the June 2023 edition of Shoe Geeks. You're here with myself, Julian, from the running company Geelong. And I've been given the hosting job this month because Nitta wants to get introduced. Like, he's been sick of introducing us, and he wants the listeners to know all about him. So I just wrote a few things down for him. He's the actual super fan of junior athletics of the world. There is no bigger fan of young people that dress up in short shorts than Nitta. Quite dangerous, really. He was the World Junior Cross Country Championships coach of an athlete who actually finished. So extra kudos for Nitta there. He was a real predator back on the professional running circuit in Adelaide. He used to do 100s and 200s and 400s, which probably explains why he's so bad at distance running. He's got calf muscles of a 110-year-old lady. Refuses to put a shoe on without at least one heel pitch in it. Tommy, this one you'll love. He's the director of Barefoot Podiatry Proprietary Limited.
Yes. I'm glad this is coming out.
He's run something like 230 odd for a marathon. Once it goes over 230, I stop looking at details, Nitta. and he works, or he's the head podiatrist at Spark, which stands for South Pacific Area Running Coach.
Are you serious?
That was like, besides the end, that was good from you, Julian. Relatively good.
Yeah. So
you're liking your new role, aren't you, Julian?
Right. Don't get enough love, I think, Nitta.
No, well, look, I appreciate
so
the bits
Tom,
and bobs
he
of
used
that.
To be a good runner. Yeah, well, you can.
How's the internet in Geelong going?
Rebute later, yeah, but yeah, Tom, he is it no good?
Nah, internet's dodgy.
Your internet's dodgy, mate.
Oh, let me move spots. Apologies, don't know why that is.
Look, if I'm going to sit through that, I want to sit through Tom's introduction.
How's that? Is that a bit better?
I'm a little nervous after listening to Nitta's.
It's better. Yeah.
Little bit better there?
That's good.
All right, cool. Well, yeah, Tom, he did used to be a good runner back when he was a Nike employee. He's the lover of terrible shoes. And in fact, he injured himself wearing terrible shoes. And we often have debates on this show about whether shoes can injure someone. And Tom's actually gone out and proved that point.
What shoe was that?
Streak Fly for the foot.
Wasn't that.
Yeah, it was that. Could be the second or even the third best athlete in the house. He receives about an eighth of the positive Google reviews as Nitta does. Or maybe he does actually receive more, except Nitta just sends him into our group just trying to prove how good he is. He's by far the wealthiest person in this group chat and could well be the wealthiest person in Sydney. He's the head of medicine at the Sydney Swans Footy Club, pinnacle podiatry head podiatrist, and a 2:14 marathoner, but it was so long ago that I don't think anyone remembers.
2:14, something less than someone else's on this pod.
I'm disappointed Tom's ears didn't get a mention.
Yeah, I tried to work him in somehow, but I thought that would just be straight up bullying.
Yeah, yeah, fair enough. Okay.
Talking about your love of children's, that's appropriate, but not Tom's ears.
Oh, I'm being stuck onto the president's list, I reckon, now.
All right, boys. you've been doing podiatry stuff, I saw, Nitta. You've been at a conference. Talk about this conference you're at.
It was the National Podiatry Conference. It was in Brisbane, where the weather was good. It was between 20 to 25 degrees. Look, you called it out. It's a pretty social event. But there was a fair bit of footwear. We had a footwear symposium. Remember a couple months, maybe a year back, the three of us did a bit of a lecture for the Podiatry Association. I think the last conference, it was a virtual conference. And we looked at like the paradigms of foot.
2021, I think we did that.
Yeah. We did one. And Tom and I also did another one looking at the Agresta paper of like the paradigms over many years of how they used to prescribe shoes. So myself and a podiatrist, Ian Griffiths as well, he's the big dog of sports podiatry in London, you'd say, Tom. Knows his shoes really well. Keen golfer, very educated. And a biomechanist called Max Paquette, who's based over in Tennessee, formed from Memphis. So a good biomechanist, a good runner, but he sort of, you know, cut the crap out about the footwear selection in terms of like there isn't a lot of evidence to reduce global running injury risk, and we already know that, and how the it's a bit more intricate than that. So there was some good footwear stuff. There were a few runs, a few groups took us for like, you know, the shoe sampling type stuff. You know, they go out to Geelong Surf Coast and they bring out all the On shoes or Mizuno shoes. People try them on.
Ian actually went for the.
There were five brands actually at the exhibition, I reckon, or maybe six. I saw Asics were there, Brooks, Ultra. So Levi was there. He did a good job on a presentation as well, Levi. Yeah, she presented really well. Actually, interesting to find out they've got a 4 mil shoe coming out soon. So anyway, Mizuno were there and On were there. But there was one day, New Balance as well. And on the middle day, there was the footwear brands got a chance to just like get a 10 to 12 minute spill about their product, their ethos, or sometimes their history. Of course, Spicer went for 20 minutes instead of 12 minutes and held us all up. But it was good. Like, it was good to see different brands promoting, you know, their product coming out, but sometimes a bit of difference. I'm not sure every podiatrist understands that we have brands like Ultra that exist as well. So that was good of Levi to go there and talk about, you know, the anatomical shape and minimal pitch shoe or zero pitch shoe currently, but future minimal pitch. And then we sort of just nutted it out, put some questions from the crowd, and that was it was good. I think we need a bit more of that. And, you know, most social things are done like under beers and food, but there was a fair bit of social stuff done in the run. So, Tom, you saw Ian doing his jog, you know, with me at about 5 minute K pace, but he was wearing the
Rebellion Pros.
It was good. So when the group finished, he took it for a bit of a spin. Works well for him, big high cadence guy. So once he got going, it sort of moved pretty well. So some people just don't get exposed to these shoes. So it's really, really good for podiatrists to put it on the foot, get some feedback, because that's probably the best way you learn, really.
So it's real intrinsic, this conference, though. Like, it's basically pods presenting to pods, isn't it?
No. So a lot of the keynotes are from outside of podiatrists. So, you know, Max is a biomechanist, but we have people that work in, I mean, it's not just sports podiatry, right? We had people in areas of like work in intensive care or triage, and people that work in vascular, people that work in dermatology, who are dermatologists who aren't podiatrists. So look, it was good. Specifically to podiatry, we have a really world-class pediatric podiatry group. We take it for granted a little bit, actually. We have most of the research come out of like Monash and UniSA, for example, and they all get together and perform, you know, lectures in like the major plenary sessions, and they're fantastic. So, look, it is really good to go there. And I went to maybe 40% of the lectures. To be honest, the one issue I had with the conference is that because there were 900 delegates there, there was a lot of overlapping of, you know, I wanted to see a bit more pediatric stuff, but like I was lecturing at the same time in the pediatric one. So people that practice privately normally are seeing probably kids and sporting people. So, but they people that are seeing sports aren't normally necessarily seeing people with peripheral vascular disease. So they probably didn't quite get the sessions on the timing correct. But look, it was a good conference. Tommy wasn't there and Clarkie weren't there, so I won the local park run for the morning. So
here it is.
It's big status, which is great.
What'd you run? What time?
Doesn't matter, mate.
What?
No, I ran about 16 minutes. About 16 minutes, 16.5, 16.6 or something like that.
Yeah, that's pretty good for parkrun for you.
It's not bad for me.
Yeah.
So, what are you running at the moment, Tommy? You'll be ready. You'll be under 16 minutes already, you think?
Nah, I don't know. Yeah, I'm back to depressed Tom again.
You're injured again?
No, nah, not really. Well, my hip. So I'm on the working diagnosis of this SIJ syndrome type thing, which is a weird vague diagnosis, and it's not quite 100%. It's not terrible, but it's just annoying. It's there. I should be doing more rehab. But like
you ran 100k's 2 weeks ago. Huh? You ran 100k's 2 weeks. You ran 100k week 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, I ran 100k. Yeah, and that was
maybe it's a bit too quick.
Yeah, yeah, no doubt.
Yep. You're eating enough, mate?
Huh?
You're eating enough?
Sorry.
I'm eating lots. So don't stress about me, guys. Don't stress. Yeah. No. So. Yeah, just annoying. But it's not just that niggle. Like I'm just a bit busy and stressed with work and family stuff at the moment. So, just not in the headspace for getting back into things properly, doing everything I should be doing. Like I haven't really gone back to the gym yet. I do need to properly get a schedule together and get back there regularly. So, yeah. But 100K was still that was fun.
You would be busy, Tom. Like there was one point in time I went to the conference and there were like 60 podiatrists from South Australia there, and I thought, well, who the hell's back in Adelaide still doing podiatry this week? Would have been the same in New South Wales. So
yeah. Good, Tom. Good for work, but
good for Tom. Yeah,
Tom, you get a few mentions in the spin-off show Road to Gold Coast.
Oh, really?
You're the personal podiatrist of Ed Goddard.
Oh, yes, that's correct. I am.
Yeah.
He comes in, we chat shoe protos, and I shove my foot in his prototypes, and I just try and pretend that I'm elite like Ed is. It's great.
Yeah, well, he's a
The same shoe he wears without socks and gets blisters.
Yeah, so I don't think he mentioned it in that show, but I gave him advice about what to do, and literally, like, the next day, he ran again without socks. I'm like, socks are like, you got a blister, you wear socks. It was like, that was like one key bit of information that I emphasized. And no, sockless.
The man thinks these uppers are going to change the world. You would just, socks are not required anymore.
Yeah. So apparently, ASICs are, well, I probably shouldn't talk about it, actually. I won't talk about the protos in case I'm not supposed to.
Mm.
But
you can interesting things. You can talk doing, about
the last of the shoe is different. They're playing around with the last of the shoe, so there's more. In one of the protos, there's more contouring.
They're sticking the plate a bit deeper in the midsole or what?
The sky that I tried had a more bottom loaded plate. Yeah,
that's good. Yeah, that's a nice thing, I think.
Yeah. That is good, for sure. All right, so we've got some segments back in this show. Give it some structure, because otherwise Nitta just rambles. What first segment is, it's pretty much what we do already. Two shoes you've worn this month that we haven't spent a great deal of time on. So, or just two shoes you've worn this month that you really like or you want to talk about. So, Tom, you've probably done more Ks than Nitta. Even though you're at half mileage. So what do you
I think I caught you for annual volume. I think I've caught him for annual volume this year already.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That'll change. 2 weeks, that'll change.
Not with Tom's vague diagnosis, it won't.
It's a mental injury.
Tommy, you go first. You go first. I want to hear what you're running in.
Well, I may as well start with a shoe that you're both not going to like me talking about, because I've already been outed as the person that has shit taste in shoes. So I've been running a lot in the Rebel V3. Ooh, back to the Rebel.
Which is jogging.
Just jogging.
Mm.
It's a great shoe.
Ooh.
Sorry, don't mind that.
Geez.
I
tell you what, Tom, while you're on that, the Rebel V3 gets a huge facelift, doesn't it?
Well, I was going to ask.
The next one.
What's happening? I don't know what's happening.
Look, I don't want to give it away, but it looks very much like the Supercomp Elite V4 template without a plate, really. Big surface area, PBAX foam, Look, it looks like it's going to be in the same realm of almost a super blast, but maybe not quite as high stacked off the ground, maybe a little bit less pitch, but looks like it's going to be a dynamic shoe, and it's a very different shoe to what you're wearing now in the three.
Still no plate?
No plate in the Rebel. No plate, but very similar to the plated version. So, and you know what we thought about...
I'm kind of disappointed because we're literally going to have no shoes that are under 40 mil stack soon.
Here it is. This is the shoe you've been loving.
Oh, V3. Yeah. Yep.
Brand new color coming in. We actually do really well with it in store. It's like, it's not often you find shoes that feel this kind of smooth and natural anymore. Like lower pitch, flexible, but soft. This is, it's almost a throwback.
Yeah.
But it's not really.
It's just the midsole foam is just like, it's like the geometry is probably similar to like traditional stuff, but the foam.
I don't know how well this will work, Tom, but I'm going to show you the picture online here. I took one on my phone. I did send it to you, boys. This is going to be.
You're allowed to show this before.
It was at the conference. So many podiatrists saw this.
The conference. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And look at the surface area on this thing.
Jeez, it's just a different shoe. Yeah. You should rename it.
Yeah, but look, I don't know. Like, I'm looking forward to it, to be honest. I'm the opposite of you. I'm glad the shoes are getting a little bit bigger and off the ground and a bit softer and more compliant. That's good for me. I've never gone back.
Particularly with, I've spoken about it in the past, but there's two things that I'm sensitive with is like these rear foot rockers. So like shoes that have large rear foot rockers. I don't really gel with a lot of mileage with these big rear foot rockers. So I was doing a bit, and it's probably not too far off, like feeling like the Rebel was the On Cloud Surfer. But like in terms of the ride and the geometry, the flatter, more squared off rear foot of the Rebel, and the midsole experience is just better. And I like that the lighter shoe for me helps me maintain my cadence, which at the moment with this lower back thing ongoing and just thing, less shoe is definitely feeling better for my my glute lower back region.
It's a good characteristic to talk about, a bit less shoe beneath the foot, maybe even a little bit less pitch is probably a nice way of offloading structures a bit higher up, isn't it? So increasing the cadence, et cetera. You don't sort of have a longer stride, over stride. Look, give them a bit of an outline. Why don't you like the rear foot rocker? A bit more of the mechanical reason behind it, Tom.
Yeah, I don't know. I think maybe my body is just, over the years, is just used to having that bit of foam at the back there. I kind of have this sweet spot of, if you look at the wear of my shoes, it's all like, I do land rear foot, but very gently on the rear foot. And it's almost like I feel like part of the shoe is missing. It's like that sweet spot on the shoe that I normally like to hit and feel like I'm hitting. It's almost like part of the shoe is missing, and it's making me land a little bit more midfoot. And I kind of like feeling that, almost like that rear foot landing and then shifting to midfoot, forefoot. I don't know. I just they've been around long enough now, and I've used enough shoes that are high stack with these rear foot rockers that I know it's a feature now in shoes that I don't really want to be doing a lot of mileage in. And it's a problem because a lot of the models now have it. And it may be better for most people having that geometry in a really high stack shoe, so it's a bit smoother. For me, it's not quite what I like.
Yeah, well, the reason you don't like it is the reason that I do like them.
There you go.
It does feel smoother. It doesn't feel as abrupt or as slappy underfoot when that happens. Like, so I'm thinking the shoes you would probably like, something like a Brooks Ghost. You know, like really stable at the back, higher pitch, pretty firm underneath. But that's the sort of shoe. Yeah, see the Super Blast, really like that feel. It feels like it disappears under your foot when you're striking the ground, rather than a noticeable contact time or a noticeable contact point.
It's interesting though, Tom. Like to hit this real rear aspect of the shoe, like it's a long way back on the shoe,
Yeah, no, if I had the OnCloud Surfer, you'd see the difference. Like that Super Blast 3 foot rocker is almost mostly aesthetics, just like the Vaporfly was.
Yep.
It's where it's those true shoes where if you put it on a flat table, you can see like if even from the midfoot, it starts tapering and rockering to the rear foot.
How'd you go with the 1080 from New Balance?
Yeah, I didn't like it because it just feels like there was just shoe missing in the rear foot.
Okay. Because I did notice a little bit in that. Yeah.
When you stand in a shoe when you first put it on, do you sort of consider how you're feeling in terms of balance between rear and forefoot?
Yeah, I can feel it just standing in the shoe. Mm. Yeah.
The Cloud Surfer, I can feel. I actually do feel like I go to the back, but that's just due to the softness, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's. I remember that the Brooks Aurora had that huge rear foot rocker. I loved that shoe, but I also felt like that rear foot rocker correlates with my hamstring working more. And at the time, like my hamstring was annoyed, and just getting out of that shoe less helped that issue a lot.
You can just makes sense.
You're injured a lot, aren't you?
What happens when if you're trying to get the fastest marathon time on this pod, you gotta take some risks.
Must be something else, not the shoes knitter.
What are you enjoying, Julian?
I've got a fun shoe for once. Like I'm enjoying the. Hold on a sec. When I changed spots, I left my shoes. But the Vaporfly Next Percent 3, you guys have them. I think you both have them now. Is that right?
No, I don't have it yet. So,
yeah,
I'm going to go the Alpha 2 instead. Yep.
Yeah, bad call from you, I reckon.
Mm.
I think you'll like this. I was expecting something very similar. So, when we got our first drop in, we got sizes. Like, I didn't have my size. So, like maybe 8, 10, 11, 13, or something. And I'm an 11 and a half to a 12. And so I didn't really get a good experience testing the shoe. So when I got my size in, I thought, oh, yeah, I'll have a crack at it. Like, I'm not expecting to like it and probably not going to buy one. But as soon as I put it on, I just felt like this is way more significant than the last model. So this, this from here to here, this actually feels like it's got a whole heap of energy, love stored in there. Mm. And when I'm sort of... I went for a jog and then I did some strides in it. And that was the first thing I noticed was, wow, it's bouncy under the forefoot. Whereas the last one, I felt like it was dead. Felt like it was flat, bottomed it out, gave me nothing back. And so I thought, okay, maybe there's some hope for this shoe. And then the second thing is that as I did my strides down the street, I noticed this slightly broader platform through the rear of the shoe. And as my foot came down, because the shoe is so soft and it used to be so narrow, I would get really used and I would have to basically just tolerate my foot falling off the platform because I pronate quite a bit. And I didn't feel that. I felt resistance in this shoe. So this shoe is actually resisting my foot collapsing off it. And I thought, we're onto something here.
Were you racing it?
Ghost half, yeah. And that's like yesterday I did a workout, Saucony Endorphin Elite. Mm. Just to put it back on the foot and wonder if I'm imagining things. That shoe is firm compared to this.
Mm.
This shoe has a lot more softness, and the Endorphin Elite has that Power Run HG, which is like the packed foam. It just felt a bit harsh to me. Like it was propulsive, but it was just I wanted to feel like my foot. Your favorite word, compliant knitter. It's nice and compliant.
Well, that's the issue. I found that the second version was very soft underfoot, but it was so compliant, it bottomed out really quickly. This one here, if it's got more stuff beneath it, hopefully that's, similar to the first version. Tom used to say there was more love in the first version of the V1 or the OG type, or even the V1 Vaporfly. I reckon you found a difference between 1 and 2 in terms of how soft the foam was, didn't you?
Yeah. So
that's good.
It feels like, basically, to me, the Vaporfly 3 is the softness or compliance of V1, but with a bigger rocker than both previous versions. Yeah. It's nice. It's a nice combo. They've It's a nice little upgrade.
Only thing, I wish they would increase a bit of padding at the tongue here, because a couple of times I've done those laces and just felt like the pressure is just a little too tight through the top of my ankle, top of my foot. So a little bit more.
The fit for me was a bit different than V2.
Yeah. You mean whereabouts exactly?
The toe box.
Yeah, okay.
Roomier.
Yeah, a little bit different for me. I still stayed the same size. I felt like a lot more midfoot wrap in this shoe than the last one, which hasn't caused me any dramas so far. I've done a few workouts in it now. I got one more shoe to talk about that I've been liking, and it will link into the next segment. But this is it here. This is the Nike ZoomX Zagama Trail. So first, we'll start with criticism of the shoe. These lugs in the wet are terrible. if you're running on wet, hard anything, you're sliding over. You're going to fall over. Mm. Like I went on a boardwalk, and it's like having ice skates on. So there's something about the makeup or the lug pattern or something where you just slide everywhere in this shoe. But you get it on a light trail, a bit of dirt road, and you've got like this core of ZoomX with a skeleton of some other foam that they've used, and maybe it's that Phylon. And it's really stable. But then when you're sort of toeing off and you're pressing through the forefoot, you feel ZoomX. And I think they've done it really well in this shoe. Also, another big plus is this is a trail shoe, no toe cap. So I think toe caps are one of the most overrated things in shoes ever, and I think they cause way more issues than they solve. So Nike's gone, you know what? Let's fuck off the toe cap. Let's make it fit more like a road shoe, which we all love, and I think it's worked for them.
Good.
Nice. Yeah. That's one shoe I'd love to try.
Yeah, you'd like it too. No real rear foot rocker. Check that out.
Yeah. See that? Yeah. I did see that the Ultra Fly is using a Vibram outsole. So
yeah, light base. Light base is the best stuff. It's they have different types: Mega Grip, Light Base, and Light Base is the stuff they put on like the Mont Blanc from Ultra. Really sticky, but like not a heavy compound. We're going to be getting that shoe mid-August. It's been pushed back 6 weeks, so. It's coming out now. Got second and third place at Western States 100 Miler. Was wearing the Ultra Fly, and I think it'll be like, from all reports, a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Nitta, two shoes, one shoe.
Two shoes. Cycling between two volume shoes at the moment. It took me a long time to get onto it, but the Triumph 20 through here. I reckon the first 40 or 50 k's I battled with it felt a bit firmer than I thought it would initially. After 50Ks, the TPU, very resilient foam as opposed to it being super compliant. So I find it responsive, but took a bit more to knock in. Feels really, really good at baseline, Tom, just because of this beautiful sock liner. You know, it's around about 4.5 millimeters of the Power Run PB or the TPU type material. And it is just comfort. You know, I can transfer this. I put this in actually the Super Blast the other day. Imagine how that felt putting this into the Super Blast. But anyway, no, it's been a really good shoe. It's stable, responsive. You can pick the pace up in it. Does have a little bit of a rear foot rocker on it, Tom, but not really. So more aesthetic than anything else. And I've been rotating this between a shoe that I thought I wasn't going to like, Tom, but I really enjoyed the Mizuno Sky 7.
Jeez.
It's, here we go. Yeah.
Surprising.
Do you have it there, Julian?
Oh, yeah. Here it is.
Yep. So the Sky 7, I reckon we got it... I reckon we could have sent through how long ago? Maybe 2 weeks ago?
I've had it for a couple of weeks.
It's a bit more traditional, but it still falls under that real max cush area. It's about 5 millimeters higher stack than the previous version. So I think it's up to 41 at the heel and 8 mil pitch, so down to 33 in the forefoot. The outsole is relatively industrial. I think a double-layered midsole material. I think the energy, you have to correct me with this, Julian, but I think it's the energy core on top, and then it's just the Mizuno Energy down the bottom, for example. So I think the material on top's a little bit softer. Their wave plate technology.
The red foam that you can see in there, that's the core stuff, and that's their the real core. Soft, spongy stuff, yeah.
Yep. And that's closest to the foot, I think, so that's actually really comfortable. And look, their wave plate technology is gone, but I think what they describe it as, they mix the foam together in a wave-like format. So it's still a wave technology of blending the foam, if that makes sense.
It's got to keep the wave.
Got to keep the wave. So the knitted upper is quite nice. It's probably a little bit narrow on the toe box, a little bit, if anything, just a bit pointed. Not narrow for me, but just points a bit at the end. But look, I found this really soft underfoot. Bitumen running's been really good. Look, to me, it feels soft but still resilient. So the double dual foam probably works pretty well in that setting. It feels durable, that's for sure. It feels like the outsole midsole combination is really good, and it definitely feels high off the ground compared to the previous version. So those two volume shoes, I've enjoyed both of, and the latter being a surprise. I didn't think I'd like it as much. So
does it feel lighter on foot than the previous version? What is it compared?
It's probably, if you're going to have any issue and you've got a size 13 foot, Tom, this thing's a bit heavy. That's about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's probably, like, probably 300.
Yeah. To be fair, I haven't really grams to go. I need to run in it. I've only really run up and down the hallway in it so far. The fit, I just found the fit was a little bit pokey in the toe box. And then there was nothing inspiring about the first step feel, but yeah, I'll have to give it a go. Off that glowing review.
Yeah. I'm with you, Nita. I've run in it once. I kind of got it and thought, I'm not going to use this. I put it on in the store and walked around. And I'm like, geez, this is actually really impressive feel. And my first thought was, we're going to sell this thing. Like, I put this on. That Mizuno customer likes a deeper heel, strong heel cup, narrower fit, more locked down. That this actually feels really good. And that's, like, might sell however many pairs. Like, in my head, I've got a number that I'm like, we're going to sell that many pairs of this shoe. And then I thought, well, I might even take it for a jog. So I went 6K in it and got back. I'm like, that was serviceable. This will be a good shoe for somebody. It didn't inspire me enough to really put it on the next day, but I'm going to keep it here. It's going to be my shoe running from work. So probably won't take it home. But I think, okay, if this shoe comes up against a shoe like the Glycerin, maybe even the Nimbus 25, probably not the Triumph. I'm not really calling that the same sort of shoe as this one. Maybe like a not even a 1080, really. It's kind of got its own sort of spot with Glycerin. Nimbus, like stiffer, a bit higher stack, and I think the Nimbus we're going extremely well with, and this will take a few numbers away from it.
All right,
moving on, next section. One shoe this month that you've hated, that you haven't got on with, that you've put on and gone, you're a one and done, you're out of here. Now, you might not have had that, but I'm gonna throw to you first.
I haven't really worn a shoe that I haven't liked. Apart from first feel of that at the Sky, one which I know I have. It's probably a couple of. I was probably pre-injury before I wore it, but I wasn't in love with it. Was the I wanted to like it, the Ultra Olympus Via.
Oh yeah.
So yeah, I mean it's their high stack plush daily trainer from Ultra. And
well, not real, like, kind of, but I don't think they even look at it like that. Like, they look at the Torin as that. The Torin is their sort of plush daily trainer. I reckon they look at that as almost like the therapeutic option in their range.
I agree. I think it's gone from being a max cushion shoe to being a bit more of a therapy shoe in that setting. I think they'll change it a little bit. It'll tweak it a little bit, but it still falls under the category of the therapy shoe for them. And we still, you know, big toe OA, midfoot OA. It definitely didn't have a nice transition. You know, even if you hit the forefoot or the midfoot, I think the issue was lacking. It's the transition. Too flat. Yeah, and I think, unfortunately, that lack of rocker really exposed the zero drop in that shoe in terms of comfort for running.
Yeah, even fit through the midfoot, I think, probably a little narrow still.
Not a lot of volume. Like, it wasn't deep, was it? Like, not a lot of volume. Yeah.
Ultra often struggle. Like, great concept, good foams sometimes, but then they struggle with the fit and the heel slippage. Like, heel cups are always real shallow through the midfoot. narrow through the midfoot when they could be a bit broader to accommodate. They've obviously got the toe shape going on. So let me just pull up one here. I'm just standing in front of our 10 and a half. So I've got a good example of one, the Escalante. So this is sort of their lighter weight, I guess, semi-casual shoe now, 25 mil stack. You can see the way it flares here across that section. But back here, it can actually be a little narrower through this area.
Yep.
And a lot of people that have a wider foot, their foot's not just wide here. It's actually wider through the foot. Yeah.
Yeah, great.
A lot of pressure from the sidewalls there.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I couldn't even fit my heel lift in there because the heel cup was so shallow. I was getting slippage. So I was just like, it was an all around, just couldn't get a workaround there for me.
Fail.
Yeah.
Nida, what have you been hating?
Look, it's slightly different realm. I was lucky enough to get some Saucony sent through, and I really enjoyed the Triumph, obviously, as well. But they also sent, I asked, requested the Spike, the Terminal. The Terminal is their distance lightweight super spike, so to speak. And I've done a couple workouts in it. It is really light. There's nothing. I think it's the lightest spike I've ever put on, I reckon, to be honest. I don't know how much it weighs. Tom, you love the weight metrics. That's why you got the Terminal in the end. You wore it over at World Cross, didn't you? Long story short, I found the foam, it was a Powerrun HG, and I found I bottomed it out, unfortunately, really quickly. The rocker was quite aggressive, so it felt like it, you know, wanted me to take more steps, really quick steps. It didn't suit my gait. I couldn't sort of open the stride up. And the little holes in the base that make it really light, Tom, we did one workout, just a fartlek on the grass. It was a bit wet, and they filled up instantly, so the weight of the shoe doubled. And then unfortunately got wet through the base substantially as well. So look, it didn't quite work. And only because the comparison is I ended up wearing the Avanti TYO at the cross country race, which is a, you know, their super spike, and it's not as rocket in the forefoot, and they use their light strike in the midsole. And that spike, surprisingly, is one of my favorite spikes. Like, I can long stride and I can hit the forefoot really hard. It grips well. It's probably a little bit heavier than most spikes perhaps, but in a cross country race, I didn't think that was a deal breaker. But it definitely matches my gait a bit better. It's probably narrow in the toe box, but unfortunately, it wasn't the narrowest. The worst thing about the Terminal was it was even narrower in the toe box. Again, it was one of the narrowest spikes I've ever put on. So, and people don't realize that comfort. Like, everyone's gone into the Dragonfly, right? $220 and a top level shoe, and Dragonfly is an anatomical fit almost for a spike compared to historical spikes. So this was just pronounced even more so. So I didn't love that spike, but I can imagine you got a really narrow foot and you know, you're lightweight, you'll probably get away with a Terminal pretty well. But I wouldn't pick it as my spike for sure.
Do you love the last bit? The last bit is, oh, but please send me some more shoes, Saucony. Here's who could wear this and would love it. This is the person.
Look, I've just talked about how nice this was and how nice their sock liner was. They sell more of these. And look, if you're gonna sacrifice a shoe, you're gonna sacrifice a shoe that they don't sell quite as many of, right? So,
all right, good. Talking about spikes and cross country spikes, I actually bought my first pair of shoes full price for, oh, ages and ages. Can't even remember when. Probably back Vaporfly days when I bought one off Nike when they showed up. Was the Dragonfly cross country. So we've had a few cross country races here, and I've been wearing the Dragon, and I've always thought, oh gee, a Dragonfly cross country would be great. Thinking that maybe a little more grip under the back of the shoe, and potentially a little stronger through the upper. Which is what the Dragonfly cross country is. It's a slightly wider base. It has a little bit of rubber through where the plastic plate section is of the 4 foot plate of the Dragonfly, the track version. And it has these different spikes as well, which I didn't really know what they were for. So I just like, they kind of look like golf spikes. I don't have it with me. It's at home. But they're big, thick kind of pyramids. So instead of just like the little spike pin going straight in the shoe, there's like a socket almost, or how would you describe it? What would you call it? Like,
they're almost like studs which taper down to.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the pin comes out of the end of the stud, and they're probably like 10 mil or so off the bottom of the shoe. So they're really pronounced. And I thought, okay, I'll wear it on the grass, and they must make this the standard, because they also did come with normal spike pins. And they fit long, kind of like the normal dragonfly. The first thing I felt when I put them on was a fair bit of length through my toe, but that was all right. It doesn't bother me. But as soon as I rounded that first corner and landed on some firm stuff, those lugs under the forefoot, they were horrible. Like, just the worst experience. These big, thick lugs pressing back up into your foot, and then really unstable because of how long they were. Like, my ankles were going everywhere. The only time they felt good on the whole course was in the muddy kind of corners, the little boggy sections, and then they held their own. But it was a bad decision to wear them, and I'm not sure that they're designed for Australian cross-country conditions. I think they might be, like, just used for the English kind of UK mud pits. Yeah.
It's so interesting because I'm surprised you actually had a bad time with it, because I saw your result and your result was really good. And I thought, oh, geez, maybe Julian Spikes really helped him out, because he didn't go that well last time. Turns out you might be going okay running wise. But
It wasn't that great a result. It didn't really, the field wasn't the same. All right, next shoe that I haven't liked. I reckon you posted about this one, Tom, on Strava the other day, yesterday maybe. This is the ASICS Trabuco Max. Now, I heard some really good things about this thing. This is number two. I also had version one, and I didn't get on with that either, mainly because it was such a shallow, narrow fit. So the Trabuco Max, it's like ASICS's high-stack, kind of cushion, rigid, rocket trail shoe. Quite good grip here. What do they call that? ASICS grip. Original. But this is quite sticky. The cushion level, it is high. Probably needs a bit more rocker for me to get over the top of this shoe. I felt like I'm stuck behind it. I almost feel like when I'm standing there, like the front of the shoe sits higher than the back of the shoe. It's almost too stiff with not enough forward propulsion, or the rocker's too far forward and I can't get over the top of it well enough. Up front, I got a 12. There was enough room, but this toe cap is quite hard still. And it still beats me up, especially on the medial side. So the toe cap comes wrapped right around down here, and it wraps on top of the shoe as well. So anywhere near the end, my big toe got flogged. The heel cup was really quite narrow and firm back in here. That pressed in on my Achilles at the end of a long run, and I had to cut my long run short. So this shoe, a lot of people love it, but I'm not one of them. I actually don't enjoy it at all. Tommy, what?
You go, Tommy, first. Tommy, you had the same thoughts you did, so you go first.
I've only done a few runs. I don't do a lot of trail, but when I have gone and done the Royal National Park, I've taken it out a couple of times. So yesterday was one of those times. I like it. I actually have no issue at all with the midsole and the ride of the shoe, the rockering effect, the compliance. It all feels great. I really kind of like enjoy the ride. I have no issues with the heel. I get really good lockdown. No irritation. It's just I get that medial big toe bashed just like you do. It's so annoying. It just ruins the experience. Something so little like that. So I don't know if I'm going to wear it much, just because it's just the whole run. I'm just thinking I just can feel it like tapping on the end of the shoe.
I wonder why shoe designers are so in love with hard toe caps like that.
But obviously, it's a combination of the hard, and it does taper in a bit, doesn't it? So, I went up half a size, so I haven't had that issue as much. It is a small complaint downhill for me, hitting that point. And I found the heel counter a little bit too dense. I don't like any dense heel counters anyway. I like it to be flimsy, like an Infinity and things like that as well. We won't get into that another time. But entering into the ground, if you're hitting a little bit biased to the forefoot, I found the rocker works really, really well, and the midsole compliance is fine. So I actually really enjoy the ride, but I guess the fit of the upper is probably the only issue that needs to be reconciled probably.
Yeah, it was like that last one too. I had the same complaints. Need a better fit, and that shoe's a banger. All right, last section here. Oh, actually, one more. We got one more before we introduce the new segment. Iconic shoes of the past. I think we did 2 months worth. Iconic shoes of the past. So I can't even remember what I said. You guys call me out if I get it wrong. I'm going to go with Nike Terra Kyger version 1.
No, you haven't said that yet.
Oh, this thing here. This was the first trail shoe that they didn't turn into a brick that was actual runnable. It had a really soft four-mil drop. It was a time when the Kinvara was the king of the industry and everyone wanted to wear 4 mil cushion shoes. And the Terra Kyger came out and it had decent amount of stack. The lugs were soft. They weren't like full-on Solomon-type Speedcross lugs, which was popular at the time too. It was like a half tongue, like a burrito-type wrap tongue, which was awesome. No toe cap, generous toe box. That they still haven't made a trail shoe as good as that. The Zagama is a little different. The Terra Kyger one, this actually here reminds me a fair bit of what Terra Kyger one was like. But I the heel cup, Nita, you would have loved the heel cup. That was like soft booty, almost like a neoprene.
I had Terra Kyger two, and it became like too much of a racing flat almost for me. Yeah. I reckon it was real low profile.
Too firm. Terra Kyger 1 was cushion designed for easy days. Terra Kyger 2 got faster. They tried to segment it a bit more from the Wild Horse. They tried to make it quicker, and it just wasn't. It didn't work. Tommy, ever?
I had the Kyger 2, not the 1.
Oh. You've always missed it.
And you would have loved it because it was traditional.
Yeah, sounds like it. Missed out.
Yeah, it was one of the greats. It really was. I hope they introduce it again. Even as a retro, I'll get it.
All right, I'll go with my retro throwback. I haven't worn this shoe any iteration since the first time I wore it in 2011. Guess which shoe?
2011.
It was the original. First came out.
Lunar Glide.
Nah. I was a Nike boy back then, so this was a step away from Nike.
Oh. Okay.
Step away
from
Nike.
Step away from Nike. 2011. You're looking at about version 12 now.
There was an
Adidas?
We're at version 8 now, I believe.
Version 8?
No, just tell us.
Okay. The Bondi B from Hoka.
Oh, fuck off.
Yes.
That's good.
Off brand for me. It's a bit high stack, but I have to say it just because it was like, there's like a time in my life, it was like this, you know, you're trying a shoe and you remember trying on a shoe. And that was one of those times. You guys know Roger, don't you? Roger rocked up to Running Science where I used to work, comes with his big truckload of shoes, rips them out, and we're all just like, what is that? This is not going to take off. But tried it on, and it was like, it was felt like nothing I'd ever run in before. Got a pair and ran in it, loved it. Never wore a Bondi since. But I do think, like back then, it was probably lighter than the Bondi is now. And it was softer. It was like softer, really light, not that stiff. Probably not as stable as it is now and not as durable as it is now.
Yeah.
But while it lasted, before it became unstable and lost its structure, it was fun while it lasted. A bit like the original Clifton. The original Clifton was really light, really soft, but it wasn't durable at all.
Mate, the current one's not that much better. The current one's better than the last one, but it's still one of the least durable shoes in our store.
Yeah, okay. So, yeah.
The Stinson, though, that first Stinson ATR as well, around the same era. I never bought one, but someone brought one back to the store. They had complained about it or something happened, and it was my size. So I thought, I'll go out and do my double in it tonight. And I'm like 2 minutes into the run thinking, is this a game? I couldn't work out in my head. I'm like, this could be a game changer or this could be a flop. And look, I could run and I felt like I wasn't doing anything. It felt like I was literally not even working at all. That's how rocket and stiff and cushioned that was. And I don't think I've been in a normal shoe since.
That placebo effect is, it's gone now, mate. Every shoe feels. Yeah. You will never get that feeling of, change again, right? So
I reckon, though, they nailed it back then, though. That Stinson ATR was one of the, like, still one of the best hockers that they've ever made. They've really changed things around.
Yeah. What about you, Nita?
In terms of, I was thinking the other day, I've had a slightly sore tib post, which is clearing up pretty quickly now. And I remember you, Tom, used to put on like a, you know, like an orthosis into, I think you were using a Cano Light, weren't you, when you were getting tib post issues. Is that right?
Yeah.
When I had tib post issues, I used to get them intermittently. I know Croaks likes to bang on about it in the main show when he gets them. I used to wear, I had this one shoe. I wouldn't wear it very often, so it lasted a while. You remember the Mizuno Wave Nirvana?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, geez.
Yeah. So I had this, when I was like a 10 mil heel pitch, but it felt like 18. And it had the medial post of the wave plate so industrial on the medial side, and the hole on the lateral side would really invert the foot. Mm-hmm. And it would like, the midsole and the forefoot was quite good. It was like some sort of compliant foam in the forefoot and dense foam beneath it. So it actually was relatively cushioned. I could run in that thing when I had tip post issues, and I'd be like, nah, no tip post issues at all. So it was like my moon boot for tip post. I'd go running in the Nirvana. So I do miss that shoe, actually. So
that was one of the most expensive shoes in the industry. That was like $280, more expensive than a Kayano. And even now, $280 support shoe. They just don't exist, really. I mean, the Glycerin GPS.
They stuck everything in the shoe. Everything went into the shoe. It looked terrible, but like now you'd sell it as almost a casual shoe. So, but no, Nirvana.
They're bringing this stuff out for casual, for sure.
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right, here's what we've been waiting for. Tom, I know you've been waiting for it. It's Knitters reads out the emails that someone sent him during the week about how good he is, Tom. All right, who we got for Knitter? No, that's not the right one. it's Knitters Nonsense. So he loves Moose on the Loose on the main show, big fan over there, but he actually is an angrier, more opinionated man than me. So let's let him loose. Knitters Nonsense.
And look, it's easier for me to be the nonsense guy rather than the guy that owns the retail shop. But your Moose on the Loose was actually really good this week. People would go back onto that one. That was the best one I've heard for a while. But look, this one is writing down practitioners seeing patients and writing down shoes for the hell of it. Part one. Part two will be next time. Part one is an example of a patient came through with a pathology or pain on the medial part of their foot, like an os navicularis, a tib post insertion tendon, really flexible foot that moves medially, and the transverse plane just moves sideways. It drifts a lot. Anyway, long story short, practitioner decided they need a rocker shoe. And look, lo and behold, it's probably not what she needed, but long story short, gave her one option, just one option for a shoe. And it was the New Balance Super Comp Trainer. And so this lady, high off the ground, relatively fit person, low BMI and everything, puts this shoe on for the rocker effect, but her foot is so compliant and hypermobile, she's falling off this shoe that's high stack medially, but she's getting the rockering effect, but it has flared up the tib post tendon even more. So went into the retail shop with the one shoe only, the rocker shoe, and this retail outlet, young lad working there, said, look, maybe you'll be better with a Bondi, you know, so a rockering effect, a bit more stable. But she obviously didn't get the Bondi. She went into a super comp trainer because that's what the practitioner told. And that's what happens, I suppose, when you pay money for a service, you believe exactly what you're told. And this is complicated. So I think this starts to cause a problem when you start writing down shoes, one particular shoe, even two, and you're not trusting the retailer. There's a lot of room for error. Like if you want to refer for a attribute of a shoe or a characteristic like a rocker, maybe send off for that characteristic or give a series of shoes and then let the experienced retailer solve the puzzle with the client. I think that solves a lot of problems without having to buy a shoe and return the shoe because it didn't work. And that makes it awkward. But this happens all too regularly, for example. I think referring a characteristic probably becomes more important and people that to an experienced retail outlet. Otherwise, it's just a mess. There's not one shoe that solves the problem. And if the shoe doesn't feel comfortable from the get-go, well, then you lose trust in the patient as well. Obviously, I got to see that patient consequently after another practitioner. So it's an example of maybe not trusting the retailers and perhaps maybe spending a few days in a podiatry conference. It was great to see a lot of footwear presented. But one thing was for certain, that the level of knowledge that we see even in our allied health practitioners sometimes might not even be up to scratch with some of our retail, you know, people that work in retail who are runners, who are experienced on the floor. And it's because you get to see all the series of rocket shoes. And if you just happen to have a small variant, like a big hopper mobile foot, normally going into the shoe with the most compliant upper and like least stable upper is not going to be the best outcome. But you would know that, wouldn't you, Julian? And you would know that as well, Tom, because you love shoes. So
yeah,
that's my rant for the week. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's tricky because patients look at practitioners as if they are gods, and it's very difficult to convince someone otherwise in store, especially if they have a note written down, this shoe, this is what I need. And like, sometimes it's easy just to go, that's cool. Like, did you want to try on anything else? Would you like me to provide some insight, or are you happy with this? And if they say, no, this is what I want, then I'm not going to accept a return on that shoe, because that's us losing. It pretty much is us losing, like, let's say $200 to, like, if it's that sort of shoe, like, we wear that, and that's not our recommendation. So we advised you, like, someone else advised you to get this, and perhaps they should pay for this shoe. So we always sort of make notes, and if we make a recommendation to someone and it's wrong and it doesn't work out, we own it. We go, yeah, cool, we fucked that up. Let's work on what will work. Let's get you into something right. So that's why, it's tricky in store.
How often do you get those referrals for like one particular shoe?
Rare for a single shoe. We'll normally get three that don't have a lot of consistency with them. It depends. Sometimes you'll get some really great ones, perfect ones. And you're like, okay, this person knows it. They know what they want from a shoe. They don't necessarily list the shoes. They list the features they want. I want a high heel pitch. I want a stable shoe. They don't even need to write medial support or not. If they want a stable shoe, it might have medial support. It might not. Doesn't matter. It depends on how the shoe works with the foot, how it fits, what the customer's perception is of it. That's the most important thing. But then you do get...
So you're getting many people asking for medial posts still?
Occasionally, but they're called anti-pronation devices, anti-pronation shoes. Like, that's the thing, right? You see the notes come in, and if you see something written like that, you think, okay, well, perhaps I should probably provide a bit more help with this fitting. Whereas some are written really well, some are emailed ahead of time, even better, so you can have a discussion with the pod before they come in as to the plan. It's probably even better. You can suggest a few things that you try before they even walk in. So I guess the main thing is just discussion, like having a good relationship there. Like, Nita, you want to talk to the store, Tommy. You want to go, hey, this is what I got coming in. This is what I need from a shoe. You guys do your thing. And afterwards, we tend to send something back to the pod and go, hey, Janet came in. She got these shoes. This is the reason we didn't go for the shoe that was on the list. This is the reason why we chose the shoe we did. And everyone's on the same page. Yep. You have to be able to justify why you sell a shoe. Even I'll hit the staff up randomly in the store and go, okay, so why did you sell that shoe? Like, what was it about that shoe that we And if someone can't justify it, then that's not good enough.
Look, even you can probably reverse engineer that a bit. Like, that, you can put people into a lot of shoes that will work, for example. But the first point of what we do is do no harm first, right? So, look, if you find a shoe that probably is going to be a risk factor and you refer them into that shoe, then that's a red flag. So, you know, going the other way around. And probably that's what my rant's about is the other way around. Like, you can put people into... You could send someone with an orthosis and put them into a ghost or an adrenaline, and you send them to an athlete's foot and go, well, just wait, that's a completely different shoe. I'm like, the shoe's not much different at all. Like, it acts almost the same. It's a little bit different. It doesn't change the orthosis. And because they're stuck into a paradigm of pronation, which a neutral shoe and an orthosis go together, but that's what they believe. And so they'll, you know, they won't be able to do it. But a person who's experienced like you, Julian, will be like, oh, well, we'll put them in both, and you guys will solve the puzzle in terms of comfort and fit, for example, in relation to that environment.
Look, a lot of the time adrenaline feels better because those sidewalls keep the foot contained, and they don't, we don't see overcorrection anywhere near like what we used to. So those walls, like those guide rails, whatever, that's actually a feature we can use to our advantage now.
Speaking of a medial post, like, it shouldn't be something people riding down on shoes anymore. Like, what's left? A bongo?
Yeah. There's a couple of bongos. Even. That changes quickly.
Yeah.
No, they're still there. What have we got? The 860 is pretty posted.
860,
Inspire's still got a post.
Guide's lost it. The Guide's lost its post.
Oh, yeah, we don't do the Guide in here. We do the Tempest. That's still a post.
Yeah, no, that won't last another year or two, will it?
That's a post.
That's not a post. It's not a post.
Definition of a post. Hard, high-density foam, medial side only, post.
That means your Zegma is posted.
So, Gama, if you can't say the name, you don't get an opinion.
Well, I stand by my comments around that, whatever that shoe's called.
All right, team, that's an hour. Jeez.
Absolutely.
Hour, you blokes.
Yeah. Right. Well, well done, Julian. You're a host of Randitter. Yeah, good. Well, it's one rant. You'll go next time, hopefully, Tom. That'll be great.
Jeez. Oh, Tom, too nice.
I'm just not. Yeah, we'll see.
Going out in high heels the week before your goal race and breaking your foot.
I can rant about treating family members as a podiatrist. I can definitely rant about that. Don't do it. It's very stressful.
What about if we give him the shoe you hate, Knitter? We've given him pick a shoe you hate. Oh, no, I don't hate any. 8 out of 10.
I don't do
eight
that.
Out of 10 is a 1 out of 10 for you, Tommy.
The man just wants free shoes from every brand. He won't. He won't risk not getting them.
Well, Levi's not going to give me any ultra after I've dissed his Olympus.
No, he'll come. Levi's the sort of guy to come back and say, "Look, we're going to change this and that." So
actually,
I've got another rant, but it's actually in a positive manner. But I'll do it next time.
All right.
Save it up. All right, cool. See you guys. Cool. All right.